Well, good morning. Good to be with you, and good to be with you who are watching online this morning. Were you one of the 12 million people about 9 days ago that were affected by the outage caused by Rogers? Anybody affected by that outage? Yeah, I know I was. I'm not even with Rogers, by the way. Couldn't get into sending somebody a money transfer because Interact didn't work. And apparently some government services didn't work. And I saw a piece on the news where somebody was at the, and maybe you saw too, they were at the airport and they wanted a ride home. And the driver would not take $50 cash because that is not good anymore. I don't know if that is real money. But if you would, you know, somehow run it through my system, and I would definitely get in my bank account, I would believe you and give you a ride. But this, right on the news, this taxi driver was saying, no, I'm not taking it, you know. So it really affected a lot of people. And we realized how important being connected to a network really, really is. The sad news is that the government had told Rogers and other telecom providers about 3 years ago when something like this happened, this better not happen again, and they said it won't, and it happened again. So we all know what it's like sometimes when we have a very poor signal and we can't hear, we walk around looking for a signal. Communication is really, really important. The good news is if you are looking to know God or to connect with God, you will never get a bad signal. God wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you what your purpose for your life is. He wants to comfort you. He wants to guide you. He wants to tell you that He loves you and He's for you. Would you like to be connected to God? Would you like to be connected to God? Awesome. And you know, though it is challenging in a distracted world, and it has its critics, living with God is the most certain, optimistic, enriching, meaningful, purposeful, wisdom-filled, and transforming life we can live. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you know that? Sadly, it's not the experience of every person. In fact, it's not the experience of every person who says that they are a Christian. There is a crucial difference between believing in God and walking with God. There's a huge difference in that. It is possible to believe in God like the devil does, and to be very, very distant from Him. In fact, to say that we believe in God can serve like an umbrella. Oh, I believe in God. Yeah, of course I believe in God. And it can serve as an umbrella for people asking us to go any deeper. And for many people, some of them Christians, following God is like a transaction, a one-time decision. We made a decision for God. We got forgiveness for sin. And now we're coming, and now we're forgiven. And now we come to church to pay our maintenance fees and maintain membership in the Jesus Club. It's really not doing much for us. We can actually take or leave God, to be honest with you. And for those of us who are living that experience right now, we actually tend to avoid conversation with God. We actually fear Him. There's no passion for Him. Our lives are not markedly different, really, than our neighbors. Our interests, our viewing habits, the stuff of our life, the struggles that we have, the vices, they're generally the same. Is that your experience this morning? Is that your experience? You have, you know, some kind of arrangement with God. I'll do certain things for you, but, you know, don't ask too much of me. You know, let's just keep our distance. But God has so much more for us. And sometimes life happens and we get discouraged and there are pains and we drift from God. That can happen. It's happened to me. But God wants so much more for us than a bored and powerless and fake it till you make it type of spirituality. God, if you read the New Testament, is really, or the Old Testament, is really not interested in religion. God is not interested in empty religious activity. In fact, God is so invested in you and in giving you the life that you seek that he offers to move into your life. And he also calls you to live with him. And in exchange, he offers joy and peace and guidance and hope and the power to transform you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And just like in any ordinary relationship, communication is essential to developing trust and building love. It's so true in the relationship with God. We need regular communication with God if we're going to grow. And the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit want to speak to us. And Jesus not only spoke when he was on the earth, but he continued to do so after he ascended to heaven. If you look at the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of John, within it, John receives a message from Jesus to seven churches. That's the first part of it. Now, Jesus is resurrected, but he's speaking again. Remember, he was resurrected when he spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus. Jesus is always speaking. And in these seven letters to the churches, Jesus speaks to them. And one of them in particular, he says these words found in Revelation 3:20. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Doesn't sound like God wants to be distant from you. Friends don't keep distances from each other. And the background of this was that there was people who were meeting in the city of Laodicea, in the church there, and some of them began to drift from God. They began to get cold. We don't know the reasons. We don't know if it was, you know, some of the reasons you and I struggle with, like materialism or other distractions, but they started to drift. And so Jesus spoke into the situation. But notice, it's an invitation. Look, look. Are we looking, friends? Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. And this verse implies many things, but most importantly, that the life of the believer is marked with communication and communion with Jesus. Jesus is not interested, my friends, in being an accessory in your life, something on your chain. He is interested in all of you. He doesn't want to be an afterthought, an insurance policy to prevent you from going to hell. He doesn't want to be a 911 operator in an emergency crisis. He wants to be connected to us and us to him. And today, Jesus is here with us. Grace Point, another church like Laodicea. He knows each one of us, and he loves us. And he extends an invitation to us as well. And he longs for you and I to be in communion, in fellowship, in friendship with him. Friends, when was the last time you heard Jesus speak to you? When was the last time you heard Jesus speak to you? Somebody this morning told me that Jesus told them this morning to come to church. They said they were busy with work, they weren't planning to come, and all of a sudden, Jesus said something like, go up and shower, you're going to church. That's very interesting. I would have thought he would have said, have a hot bath. But friends, are you longing to hear the voice of God? Are you longing and listening to his refreshing voice? Or do you want to just do religion? Some years back, I had the opportunity to go to Israel on an educational trip. I was really looking forward to it because, you know, I would get to go to the sites and places where stories in the Bible had occurred. I'd get to see exactly what the disciples saw when they sat, you know, on the hill where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mountain. I was able to see, you know, the Sea of Galilee below, and I was able to see the same sun rise and hear crickets in the grass, and it kind of gave me a new look at Scripture, that there was a lot of things going on. And one of the highlights of my trip was meeting Ibrahim. Ibrahim was a Bedouin, and he lived in a desert area. And he was a real shepherd. And while on his farm, I noticed a large pen full of sheep. And so, you know, I began making a sound that I thought would attract them. And you know what they did? They turned their backs to me, showed me their butts, and walked away. And Ibrahim was standing close by, and he walked towards me with a smile on his face, not condemning. And so I thought I would just, you know, show him that I'm very good at this. And I just said the same sound. They didn't come. And he just laughed. And then he made a sound. And I kid you not, like as if they were, you know, mind controlled. They all turned around at the same time and came right towards him. I said, Ibrahim, how do you do that? How do you have that connection? And he said, they don't know you, but I've been with them from the beginning. I was there at their birth. I fed them. I've kept them warm. I've led and guided them to grassy fields and to watering pools. I have protected them from wild animals. They trust me. That's why they listen to my voice. And the relationship that he had with the sheep and the comfort and trust they had with him really amazed me. They were like family. And that experience led me to a new understanding of John chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about himself being the good shepherd and the sheep hearing his voice. And when Jesus was on earth, not everyone cared to hear him speak. He had some enemies. And a group of those people that were his enemies were a religious lot of people called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees knew religion really well. They did religious activities. They went to religious events. They knew how to dress religiously. And they judged other people who didn't. They talked and ate religion. But they struggled with Jesus and the things he said. And they just didn't get his message. So much so that they plotted to kill him and shut him up. Jesus told them that the reason they couldn't hear him or get his message was they were tuning him out. They were not his sheep. Listen to these words from Jesus from John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So there it is again, friends. Jesus undoubtedly claims to speak to his sheep, That's what shepherds do. Now, if we are his sheep, I think we can conclude that we should expect to hear his voice, to help us to grow in a deeper relationship with him, for him to guide us. He wants us to know him and live in him and us with him. We can hear God's voice if we actively listen for it. We can hear God's voice if we actively listen for it. So how can we hear God? How can we hear God today? Well, first of all, hearing God is a matter of desire. Some of us are afraid. We don't want to hear God because, you know, he's going to send us to Africa or something as missionaries, and we don't want to do that, right? He might ask us to give up something we don't want to give up, right? He may really tell us the fears in our lives that we're trying to bury. He might speak to us about some addiction that we really think is none of his business. We seem to be doing just fine with it. But God speaks to those who desire him. Hearing God is a matter of desire. Jeremiah 29:13 declares, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." There's a promise there, friends. If you seek me, if you really want me, you're going to find me. I'm there. But where do we look? Where do we look? Today, and I've heard God in different ways. I've had a couple of visions of God. God has spoken to me in the car, on walks, in different places. But most often, I have heard God while I have been reading Scripture. And in his letter to Timothy, the apostle wrote these words: "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So if we want to be in line with God and growing in every good way, God's word is a great place to start. God reveals himself to us through his word. Now, we could just keep talking about this, or we could actually seek to learn to listen to God. And one way that many believers have done it, at least for 1,800 years, is to want to hear God and look at the scriptures, those two things that I just talked about. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Don't worry, we got lots of time. I'm going to stop speaking, and I'm going to let you engage with God and to do an exercise so that you can possibly hear his voice. This is one way that God often speaks to people. So if you have the Grace Point app, you will see an exercise there, listening to God. If you have the app, you can look on the app, okay? If you go, "Man, I'm visiting here, and it's my only time, I'm not getting your app," you know? So that's okay. I have two helpers with me. Walter, come on forward. Cindy, come on forward. I'm going to give you these. And if you go, "Hey, I'd like to do this exercise of hearing God," I'll take that sheet from you. I'm not doing the app. So just raise your hand, and they're going to bring it around. All right. This is really important, guys, and we want to tune in. It's self-directed, okay, and we can do it on our own at any time. I chose Psalm 23 because many of us are familiar with it, but I could have chosen, Psalm 63, Psalm 84, numerous passages in the New Testament. But we're going to do a type of reading that believers have done for almost 2,000 years as a way of hearing God, of listening to God. And as part of this exercise that you see, I'm going to ask you to read Psalm 23 4 to 5 times. Why? Because our minds often race and we have to get ourselves into a scripture. It's easy to get distracted. So this is going to be our own mini retreat right here. And so the first step, if you have the sheet, is just, I listed a sample prayer there. But the first step is really to talk to God and ask him to speak to you. And then we're going to jump into reading his word. Okay. All right. As those are going around, does anybody have any questions about the process? Anybody have any questions about the process? Okay. I've got some more sheets here in case you're running out. Here we go. There you go. Okay. Totally out. I'll give you all these. Take all those. There you go. All right. Thank you. Want to give everyone a... Does anybody have a quick question about it? We'll be doing it on our own. I'll be just speaking up every once in a while. We want to do this exercise. And here's the thing. God speaks to you. We'd love to hear about it. I'll give you an opportunity to share. Okay. Great. All right. Okay. So let's begin with the first step. Take a moment to talk to God. I just have a guided prayer there because some people, you know, they're not familiar with prayer and they don't know exactly what to say. So I'll stop and then you'll be on your own. All right.
Thank you.
Well, how are we doing? That can be a very challenging exercise, to be sitting and being quiet in a room, especially if you're an extrovert. It can be very, very hard. So thank you for engaging in that exercise. And if you want to know more about it, you know, feel free to contact me. Now I want to ask, did anybody receive any kind of impression or nudge, or did you sense that the Lord was speaking to you in some way through this exercise? Anybody? Is there anybody? Okay. Do you want to share? I have a couple of mics up here, and you may not be able to come up because you're the camera guy, but can you tell us what it was? Okay, awesome. That's a really good word. What God is blessing him with already, and not to forget about that and focus on the negative. Okay, anyone else? Just raise your hand. You had a nudge. Teresa?
The darkest valley, I will not be afraid.
Okay, going through a dark valley, not to be afraid, not to focus on fear. Okay, because the Lord is with you. Great. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Then see if I can feel the presence of God. He's beside me. I can feel the protection of God. My God has started to comfort me and prepare peace for me. It's a provision.
Thank you. Yeah, the nearness of the Lord. The nearness of the Lord with us. That is a great reminder. We can sometimes feel alone. Anyone else over here? Go ahead, Kristen.
You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. To me, that is powerful. It speaks to me as when our enemies or those who wish to see us struggle more, they see us succeeding and living our best life despite adversities against us and the malicious. That spoke strongly to me.
Thank you. Take that with you, for sure. Anyone else? You wrote something down. I noticed some people over here writing some stuff down. What are some words that you take with you, or thoughts, or even an image that God has given you? Anyone over here? Okay. How about someone over here? Don't be shy. Go ahead. Stefan, I want to definitely hear it. Right. Thank you. That whatever God is doing, his purpose is to lead us to a life, you know, of abundance and the best life we can live. Thank you so much. Many of us, how many of us need to hear a word like that every once in a while? Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you. Anyone else? God laid a word. Cindy? Good. The Lord knew I needed a helper to pass those out. So excellent. Yes. Glad. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And the Lord can exactly speak that way. One time I was away at a retreat place and I got there and I was telling the Lord all the things that I was doing. And, you know, and saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, that other person isn't doing this and I'm doing that and I'll do that. And I'll tell you, this is exactly what the Lord said to me. That's a lot of eyes that I hear. It's exactly what the Lord said. That's a lot of eyes that I hear. And right then I just fell on my face and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Right? But it wasn't like a beat down. It was like, God likes to talk to us like a friend at a coffee table, right? Just across from us, having coffee with us or tea. Yeah. Anyone else over here? Someone else? Yeah, go ahead. Wow, God is really your shepherd. He's given me so much. And she says, I love the last line. Thank you, Evelyn. There's more to come. Wow, that's something great to live with this afternoon and to keep going back to. Anybody else over there?
He restores my soul.
Who said that? Okay, he restores my soul. Why is that important for you at this time? Okay, gone through a lot. Thank you. Someone else had their hand up back there. Anyone else? Bert, go ahead.
I'm going to focus on one little word that may seem insignificant, but I think it's an important one. My version says he leads me beside still waters.
You're right.
And that word still is important because I don't know a lot about sheep, but if they're given to drink at a rushing stream, they won't drink. They're afraid of it. And so they can have all this water and die of thirst. And I think today we are fed so much turbulent water in the news and all kinds of different ways that we can find fulfillment and contentment. And the fact is, it's only available in the still water of God's word and through his spirit.
Thank you. Good word. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you want to come up to the mic. Yeah, great, Linda. Come on up.
Is it turned on?
Yes, it's turned on.
Hi, as many of you know, my name is Linda Thiessen, and I recently just lost my husband, Dennis. And so I've been walking that valley of the shadow of death, and I just really felt like God wanted me to come up and just say a couple words this morning because I had been trying to lean on him and walk this journey. And on the way to church, I've been struggling because I've been drinking. And I've been, asking God, please take this from me. And I heard Amy Grant on the radio on the way to the service this morning, and she says, when you feel that dark time, go take a bath and feel that warm water on you. Meditate. And this exercise today taught me again how to slow down and just draw near to God, and he'll draw near to us. Because I've been trying to struggle with just stopping, and it didn't work. So now I hope that I have found what will work for me. And if any of you out there also struggle in your journey, just draw near to God, and he will do that for you too. Mm. For those of you who are wanting to come, we are having a celebration of life for Dennis on Friday at 1 o'clock at Johnson Heights Church, 9612 152nd. We'd love you to be there. You're our family too. Thank you. Bye for now.
Thanks, Linda, and I really appreciate your authenticity. This is what we're about, her just mentioning, hey, this is where I'm at. I love that. That is authentic spirituality. That's where we want to be, friends. We want to help each other, listen to each other. It's not about us judging. Anyone else? I'll just do it one last time. Okay, go ahead, Karen.
Mm-hmm. To just go away from the noise of busyness, just to shut down, and maybe then hear God's voice.
Right. Okay, and there was a quick hand here. Go ahead, Lori.
Thank you.
Who, sorry, Lori, who is this? What's the connection?
Her name is Gall.
Gall, okay. A friend, and she's going through a hard time. Yeah.
She's been abandoned by family pretty much and just lives in a very difficult situation.
Okay.
It's ongoing turmoil.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, absolutely. So you can do this exercise. You can grab a cup of coffee, you know, go to a park that's quiet, sit on a bench. Again, our minds are so busy and distracted that we need to get into scripture. That's why I said read it over 4 or 5 times, you know, numerous other scriptures. And or you can do it at home when it's quiet, you know. But I encourage you to do it on a regular basis and read scripture this way, not for information, right? But for connection and transformation, right? That's what we need. I want to give you one more resource that's going to appear just on the screen as we wrap up now. And this is, if you're going, I want to know more about this, or you know what? I didn't connect with that, Steve. That's not my way of connecting. That's okay. So you'll see a resource up there, How to Hear God, a guide, a simple guide for normal people. Now, I normally don't recommend books I haven't read. I want to read this one. Some people reading it on staff, and they have recommended it and said that they're enjoying it. And as we were discussing this subject, they said, make sure you pass that resource on. So maybe if you say, I want to get into that this a little bit more, this didn't connect with me or whatever, that's great. Let's pray, and then I'm going to invite the worship band up as we wrap up. Father, we thank you that you have called us to live life with you, to live the with God life. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have a dead faith, a ritualistic faith, but we have a living and loving God who speaks. Lord, continue to speak to us. And I pray for someone here who needs a word from you, Lord, a fresh word. Maybe their faith has gone dry for whatever reason. I pray, Lord, that you would bring them to yourself. I pray for someone who's really struggling with some decision, and it may even be a major decision. You know what it is. Lord, may they tune in and ask you, Lord, speak to me. Lord, may we be a people who are in fellowship and friendship with you and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.